La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah alladhi khalaqal insana fi ahsani taqwim. Wa ba'atha nabiyina mubashirin wa mundhirin. وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليرشد الناس إلى سبيل الهدى ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعث الأميين Rasulan minhu yatlu alayhim ayatihi wa yuzaqihim wa yu'allimuhum al-kitaba wa hikma wa in kana min qablu lafi dalalin mubin ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except Allah. I also, brothers and sisters, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd ayyuhal muslimun. That is to say that all the praise is due to Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is He. He has created the human being in the most excellent mold, in the most excellent form, and has given us our shape. He has given us our make, our skin color, our hair texture, the way that our eyes are configured in our heads, and it's at the top of our heads and not the bottom of our feet. The way that we think as humans, the way that we breathe, the alignment of our bodies, and the fact that the human being has a physical reality and a spiritual reality. And our physical reality is not the end of us, but our spiritual reality is us. He sends to us people from us, messengers from among ourselves, to give us good news, to also advise us of things that could harm us in getting to the destination. He also sends messengers to do this job. And the word that they bring to the servants of God is called light. And that light opens up the perception of themselves and the world around them, to take us, God's servants, out of ignorance in terms of our understanding and our perception, and bring us into clarity and progress and prosperity. We bear witness that the final prophet, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is God's most excellent servant. And we bear witness that the message that he brought us is not of him. It's not from his own making. It's not from his own thinking. It's not from his family. But that message is from his creator. And we bear witness that that message is the truth. And because we bear witness that that message is the truth, we say we are Muslims. And we advise each other, as well as we advise ourselves, that we must have the best regard for our Creator. And the best way to do that is to obey Him. We send the prayers and the peace upon the early companions who helped Muhammad not only get the message, but compile the message. They took the message and they put it on their hearts so that when the books were destroyed, they could reproduce the message, because the message is on the heart of man. And because of that, the Quran is not a physical book. The Quran is the word of God itself, and you can never destroy the word of God itself, even if you destroy the book, because the word of God is meant to dwell in the life of man. We advise each other that we take this message and we heed this message. And it is our hope that in the Jummah today, we don't leave the Jummah like we came, because Allah Azza wa Jalla obligates us as his servants that on the day of Yawm al-Jummah, that whatever you're doing, you leave it. Fas'au, rush. You don't take your time. You don't treat this like another appointment. Allah has made time for us to hear our pleas, to hear our prayers, to illuminate our minds, to invigorate our bodies, to energize our souls, so that we can keep moving on into prosperity. So inshallah today, we hope that we take this message not only into our hearts first, but into our thinking, and let the word shape us. Let the word mold us. And let the word be the catalyst for change in a new direction for us in these areas that Allah has to cast light on for us. So inshallah, may Allah give us the ability to first hear the message. And also give us the ability to then see the message in our action. And then, by the grace of Allah, somehow, may He give us the blessing to be able to live the message. And in doing so, we will be following the example of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Qala ta'ala fil Qur'an al-Kareem. Allah, God Most High, says in the Qur'an. This is in chapter 66 and 6. And we know that the Qur'an is not revelation in some isolated context. Allah sends us this book to give clarity on what He has already said before, and to put emphasis on the major issues that have been plaguing man from his very existence. And when we say man, we're not just talking about the male in biology. We're talking about the human being that God has established in the earth, and that includes woman also. So in this particular book, Allah says that this book gives clarity, bayina, on what was mentioned before. So in this particular ayah that we're going to discuss, it is to bring our perception to a part of our life that demands our immediate attention. Allah Azza wa Jal says about the Quran that He leaves out nothing big, kabir, or nothing small, sagir. So every instance that we will find ourselves in is addressed in the Quran. It is addressed in the life of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have all the tools we need to live the prosperous life we were created to have. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, يَا أَيَّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسِكُمْ وَأَحْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَهِجَارَةُ عَلَيْهَا مَلَائِكَتُهُ غِلَاتٌ شَدِيدٌ لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ أَمْرَاهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. So here we have Surah 66 and Ayat 6. And we know that in the previous scriptures, the last book is called Revelation. And in that book, they spoke of a time when there would be a situation that man had to wrestle with. And he called it the mark of the beast. And they gave the number of this beast. They said that this beast would have the number 666. And Allah says He doesn't do anything randomly. So the ayat that we're looking for in this surah 66 is 6. Then we put these sixes together and we have 666. So here Allah is concluding the revelation, so that we can have an indication, a light, a beacon, if you will, to light our way. In this surah, in this ayah, we have already read the Arabic. Allah says, O you who believe, قُوْ أَنفُسِكُمْ وَأَحْلِيكُمْ, save yourself and your families from a fire whose fuel is men and stone, over which are appointed angels, stern and severe, which flinch not that the commands that they see from Allah, but do precisely what they are commanded. So in this surah, Tahreem, Al-Tahreem, Allah is talking about the family. Save yourselves and your families. So now, Allah gives us an indication in the Quran where to put the emphasis here, because he uses the word Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Anytime we see Allah uses the word Ya, that is his way of getting our attention before he gives some information. Now us who Allah has blessed to have children or be in a relationship, we know how to signal when we're getting ready to say something that we don't want you to overlook. We have different ways that we do that. Sometimes we get low. Sometimes our voice gets high. And sometimes we say, I need you to just pay attention for just one moment. And here Allah Azza wa Jal, the master teacher, is saying, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. So this, he's trying to get the attention of not just anybody. He's trying to get the attention of those who believe that his word is true. So in that particular vein, in that particular context, he wants to give us some information that will light our way. So he says, save yourselves, ku anfusikum. Now in the Arabic grammar, Allah says about the Quran that it is an Arabic Quran, Quran in Arabian. Now why would Allah have to tell us that the Quran is in Arabic when we can clearly see that the Quran is in Arabic? He does that so that we can understand that the meaning, the essence, the light, the guide, the destiny, the will, the understanding for us is when we get that language most clear. The freedom will allow us to see the will of God for ourselves, and we don't have to go to someone else to translate for us. That's why we don't have a priest order in our religion. We don't have to go to someone else to get salvation on Fridays and confess and get someone to throw. We're not making mockery, because this is on the radio all over the world. And we want to call humanity back to their place. And it's our responsibility to end the confusion by bringing the clarity. Not by what we say, not by what we claim, but by the word of the Lord of the worlds, who has always been on time, does not die, does not get sick. He has no associates, no wives, no consorts, no special interest that you can put money in his pocket and he neglect the needs of another in favor of another. No, no, no. This is the day that he frees the one he creates to have the life that he created him and her for. So that being said, he says here that the Arabic is the light. But it's not the Arabic that you think about, the colloquial language that people use. Allah Azza wa Jal, he gave the Arabic from the Quran, and that Arabic changed the status of the Arabic that they were using in their everyday language. So it's nothing for anyone to boast about. Because Allah, when he gives the Quranic Arabic, he sets the standard for all Arabic. And even all those nations, when they lose their subject matter and they lose their way, they have to go back to the Quran to get the basics of their language. Not to be some Arab. Not for some cultural a sense of dignity to degrade any other culture, but to bring mankind back to his destiny and give him the true light so that he can be the true liberator for all people, for all times. Allahu Akbar. So he says here, ku anfusikum. So the word ku indicates that what he is commanding is imperative. It's not an option. Maybe I'll do this today, maybe I'll do this tomorrow, maybe I'll get to it. The word ku is imperative. It is a must that the believer do this. Ku anfusikum. It is imperative that the believer save his and herself. We'll get to the families in a minute. But you can't save anybody if you are not saving yourself. Now, Allah is powerful, and that's on so many levels, and we can't have the time to address all these levels, but He addresses this in a way that it opens up the minds and the hearts for us out there who need His help so desperately. First, save yourself. That means that no matter what our condition is, we must never give up on ourselves. No matter what we're looking like in the pocketbook, no matter what we're looking like in our culture life, no matter what we're looking like in our business life, no matter what we're looking like in our educational achievements, we must never give up on ourselves. We must never give up on the possibility that we can always ascend to greater heights. This ascension for us is necessary for us to be a beacon of light for those who we associated with. So if it is imperative that we never give up on ourselves, then that also puts us in the position to never give up on those who are associated with the self. And he goes a little further. He says, and save ahlikum. Now that word is translated as family, and family is included in that, but it is not limited to our biological descendants. Ahlikum means save ourselves and all of our people, whoever we're associated with. Now Allah in His infinite wisdom, He makes us think deep, because if it was just talking about our biological family, and that means our immediate family, just my wives and my sons and my children, and it doesn't include my brother anymore, or my cousin anymore, or my third cousin, or my fourth cousin, or my fifth cousin, who I don't know, or it doesn't include those ancestors who paved the way for me. If it didn't include that, then why would Allah say that all of you are descendants of Adam and he was the first man? We have to give the hikmah. Because people start assuming that it means this or it means that. But Allah, He says, He's consistent. There is no al-wajah in Him. He says, He is a book in it. There is no crookedness in it. That means that the aim is always straight and the aim is always clear. Allah is consistent. He does not move outside of the realm of consistency. So He says here that this family is everybody. Save yourself and your people, everybody that you have an influence over, you're responsible for those people. We want to give a few facts as we close the first half of the khutbah today. One of them is this, the family. The family, why? When we want to make change, we first have to address why. Before we address how or what. Because when we address why, we're addressing the part of the brain that is responsible for making decisions. When why is addressed, the part of the brain that makes decisions will respond to that without language. Because the reasoning and the logic is so clear that it will act on that without language, without words. That's why Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran says, do not enter people through the back door. Don't enter their minds surpassing their reason, and you're going straight to their emotions and you're giving information to them that will make them make a decision that when they re-look at it, it makes no sense whatsoever. Allah is coming through the front door and showing us exactly what He's doing most clear so that we can duplicate it and have a positive impact on others. That's why everything we do is in open. Our prayers in open. Our marriage is supposed to be in open. You're not supposed to have a marriage and it's just you and somebody and no witnesses. It's important because that is providing a social protection for the people. It's never all about us. And it's all about those that we come from. So here, the family is the fundamental building block of society. So why address the family first? Because that is the fundamental building block of society. If you want a society to go decadent or go astray, you will attack the family. How do you attack the family? By weakening the members of the family. We'll get into all of that, inshallah, in just a moment. So here, the family is the first school. The family is the first cultural center. The family is the first government. The family is the first business. It is the roots that bind us. Allah in the Quran, He gives us a definition of the mother. And the definition that He uses is the same word for womb and is the same word for mercy, arham. So this first womb of the family, the home of the family, is the womb of our mother. That's first. The protection of mama is first. So this protection is natural. I want to give an example that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us about a community. He gives us an example of a community being like one body, one organism. He says that when that a part of that body is affected, the rest of the body feels the pain. Not only feels the pain, the rest of the body responds to the pain. Allah don't want us to stop at our feelings. He wants us to respond with some action to address the problem. And that's the sign of a healthy society. So when we see ills in a society and we don't see a response, we can identify that something has gone awry. But don't look at the neighborhoods. Start with the families that are in those neighborhoods and go beyond the families in the neighborhoods and then begin to look at each member in the households. And at that point, we will be able to properly diagnose where the problem is. So here, I want to use the example of community like the example of a cell. Cells work together and form alliances. Cells automatically work together and form alliances. No cell in our body acts independently. No cell does that. And they remove pathogens like bacteria and viruses, parasites and fungi from the body. They also, talking about roles in the family, but we're using an example of a cell. The cell also has to recognize and neutralize harmful substances in the body, in the environment. Recognize and neutralize. You can't neutralize if you don't recognize. And if all you recognize, and if all you're doing is recognizing the problem and not neutralizing the problem, we won't have the right effect, will we? All the praise is due to Allah. So it fights against the body. And what happens with the cell is that if the cell gets sick, the cell will fight other cells. So infighting in a family is natural. Infighting in a family is required for growth and prosperity. Infighting is necessary when an illness happens in the family. Not biological illness, mental illness. Somebody in the family is acting against the interests of the family. The family members have to go on the assault. Not physical, like we have these child abuse issues. We'll get to them in a minute. But in addressing the real interests and the real goals and the real aims of the family so that that family can possibly regenerate that cell and make it more productive. Allah, as well, Jalla, He gives us the life. He gives us the life for the cell. Some cells die young. They don't reach maturity. And some cells reach full maturity. Some cells live a long time. But what Allah does is every 7 days, the cells will still renew themselves. Don't we come to Jummah every 7 days? All the praise is due to Allah. We are always renewing the cells. Every Friday, we come together to renew the cells. Brain cells. The cells for our defense. The cells for our thinking. The cells for our prosperity. The cells for our motivation. The cells for our aspiration. All of these things we achieve when we rush to the call of Allah. So these cells, when they split, you look at a toxic nuclear situation, and you'll see that in that nuclear situation, if the nuclear activity splits, then it sends toxins into the environment. Same with the family. The family gets to split, then they send toxins into the environment. gets nasty and ugly. And you have to be able to contaminate it and isolate it until you can get the right environment right. So we're talking about, why are we addressing the family? Because it is the building block of the society. The family. There will be no business life here without family life. We can have all the cultural activities we want. If the cultural activity in the family is deficient, the culture life in the community will be deficient. We can have all the business meetings we want. If the business life in the family is deficient, if we're not making wise choices with our money, wise choices with our aspirations, communicating our goals effectively, working in the same direction, there won't be any unity there. Education. If we don't know why we're pursuing education, we won't benefit from education. We will only have the required tools that education have, but we won't have the results that education was given to us to produce. We'll get to that in a minute. So, a few facts for the first half. We're just establishing, why is Allah addressing the family here? It's the most important part of the society. That's why. We pray that Allah will keep us sincere and keep our minds directed on the fact that we always need His help. We can be cursed into our own independent thinking and isolate ourselves from being a contributor to prosperity for the sake of our own individual ideas. So we have to pray that Allah will always help us see that we need people and people need us. We need each other and we need ourselves. And in this light, then we will then be a caller and an activator for change. A few numbers to close the khutbah. The average rate of marriage in the United States of America, and all these are in the nation that we live, are at an all-time low. The society that we live in, America, we lead the world in divorce. Just talking about why is it relevant today. One out of every three children live in a home without a father. One out of every three. The United States of America has the highest percent of one-person households in the world. 42% of single moms are on food stamps. . 55% of married couples move in with each other before they get married. And over 85% of that group, the marriages fail. Again, 55% of the people that get married move in together before they get married. And 85% of those people, marriages fail. That tells us that the approach that Allah gives us for our Muslim life is the most effective approach. All we have to do is look at the numbers throughout history, and the numbers will bear that out. Allah, Azza wa Jalla, as we close this first half, He's so confident in what He gives us. He says, go and do your research and produce something like this book. Now, I'm in finance and I deal with financing on a regular basis. I've been in sales for quite a long time, not to make it about myself, but I want to just talk about what I'm saying on that Allah says, take it and think about it. Think all day. Take all year. Take the rest of your life to think on it. You don't have to rush. But in business, do they tell you to take all long as you need to think on it? They try to hurry up and get you to make a rush decision. They scared you will change your mind. Allah's not worried about you changing your mind. As a matter of fact, He wants you to come to Him with confidence that what He's given you is the truth. Because in accepting this truth, you will be challenged by all the other ideas out there in society. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. O our Lord, give us good in this life. O our Lord, give us good in the next life. O our Lord, save us from the torment of fire. Amen. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except Allah and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave servant and a messenger Strengthening the family bond What's important is that we strengthen our family bond and we've discovered and laid out that obviously just goes beyond our immediate family. More than just our wives and children, just our brothers. The cousin we haven't talked to in 6 or 7 years is that one. That uncle we don't want to see. The cousin that owe you money. Allah obligates us to deal with our family issues. What's easiest, I ain't in it. We all have gotten that call. They got a problem, they call you, and you don't want to get in it. Why are they calling you? They're calling you because they know you have clarity. They're calling you because they know you have some resolve. They're calling you because they know that you have the book. They know that you have the logic. They know you have the wisdom. But they call you because they know that if nothing else, you will be fair. No one wants to call someone who won't be fair with them. Even a criminal wants a fair trial. Getting into the family life, we have to strengthen that bond. The word is wasl. In the Quran, you'll see it as Hamzatul Wasl. In the Quran, you'll see where it links. It links, it's a linking. It's a linker. It's a unifier. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "You will not enter Jannah who severs the womb." You cut your people off, you're going to be cut off. We're not talking about relationships that are destructive. We're not talking about that. We're talking about us refusing to deal with somebody. Even just to say hello, or if they are trying to bring about peace, we don't even want to cooperate in the peacemaking process. That's what we're talking about. He who cuts the ties of kinship will not get Jannah, the family life. So now we've established that the woman is the glue that holds the family together. So the woman is the first teacher. The man is designed to be the defender of the family life. He's designed to be the defender of the community life. Not with his mouth, but with his talents. Not just with his talents, but with his vision. Not just with his vision, but with his hopes and his aspirations and everything that he hopes to be. All of that defends the society. All of that preserves the society. All of that uplifts the society. All of that redeems a society who has fallen by the wayside. That's the role. Together. The love of a mother. We cannot be so naive to think that we can give our children the Shahada and they take it and somehow that Islam will make it on its own. We cannot be so naive to think that our precious future can make it in this environment without constant maintenance from both of its parents. Both of them.
contributing, whether they live together or not, we'll get to that, whether they live together or not, making a conscious, active contribution in the psychological, mental, and physical welfare of the future. Children can't make it without just sending money at the graduation. Just buying them some id gifts here and there. Get them paying their car insurance, paying their car. They need us active in their decision-making process because they're still learning. They're still fragile. They're still dependent. Their mental and moral immune system is not strong enough yet to guard any elements. You ever seen a woman who babies take him all out? No. She lets the immune system build up before she takes him out there or her out there. She knows that. He's coming in. Hey, you got a cold? Hey, wave or something. You can't be kissing on a baby with all that. It's what we're talking about is a natural process of defending the environment. Mother love. Mother love is so powerful that when a child gets the love from its mother, it will seek no love like that in any other place. Mother love is so powerful that if a child does not get that, it will look for that love and it will take it any place it can get it. Mother love is just that powerful. We want to see what's going on with our children. They are looking for mother love and they will take it any place they can get it, because we just said that the part that answers why is the part that makes the decision. And you can bypass the rational, logical part of the brain and just go into the emotional need. And when that emotional need is not addressed, it will look for it and it will take and accept whatever claims to be that, whether it be drugs or not. We have to understand how we were designed. We have to study. It's not coming out of the air. And then when we see the problem, it's time to roll up our sleeves and get to work and address the problem. Mother love. If they get it, they will look for that love and they will find it. And they will be comfortable because that love of the mother is the natural love. If they don't get it, they will take any substitute they can get. Moses' mother and him in the Quran is a story of how we see a mother's torn. She has to part with her baby, but Allah gives her a promise. He says, you will be reunited again. That eases Moses' mother. Was we on the radio. And this knowledge is universal. And we must not fall into these contests in trying to prove what's superior and what's not. The word of God is continuous and it's clear and it will establish itself wherever it is. We have to remove ourselves and let the word do its job. So Moses and his mother was reunited, but we see the prophet and we see a relationship that the prophets had a mother. Isa, alayhi salam, Christ Jesus, may God be pleased upon him. And his mother had a relationship. So she goes off and has her son in isolation. Allah sent her to have her son in isolation. And someone came to attend to her, Zechariah. And he said, and he was found that she had no need of me. Now we have leadership to help us be a sober-minded people, productive in society. Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi said, don't think of this as just some baby with his mother. Think of it as a future leader with his community. And now here, Allah says, get away from that toxic environment and go and have your son over here by the date tree. And have it in an environment that is protected. And what environment is that? The natural environment. Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, his situation is a situation that addresses all needs for all times. Because here you have a man whose father died when he was in the womb of his mother. And then his mother died when he was still small. And then the grandfather that took care of him passed away. Now here's where we're going to bring the climax home and bring the story home and bring the reference home and make sure that we link with the destiny of the divine human life. Here's a man who by all intents and purposes in the societal order that he was in was counted out. In that society, if your father's gone, your lineage is cut, your chance to ascend is gone. You have no clan leader. For all intents and purposes, he was down and out. But look at God. When God wants to show that he's God, when he does it, you know that no one else can do it but the Mighty One. So he takes this man who does not have a biological father at that point to train him and teach him, and the mother is already gone, and he says, when the situation in society gets so bad, it gets so decadent, it looks absolutely hopeless, and you know that no human intervention will suffice, then at that time, I will obligate myself to come and teach the people myself. And I will bring them back to their place myself. There is no man alive that can say he taught Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had rabbis in Jerusalem. They had them all around. Now, if Allah in his infinite wisdom wanted us always to come and feed at the mouth of others, then he would have given Muhammad somebody to teach him at that point. But he did not give him any of those leaders in any of those society. As a matter of fact, he raised him up and he was so proficient that when he got to Jerusalem, he became the leader of all times. Closing the point. Our community life, our family life has been intruded upon. But we're not the only people that have had that family life intruded upon. We're not the only one. We're not so special in that regard. But the solution that we have is clear. We must pick it up. So when we look at this, here's the concluding point. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked, he said, what is the condition of my ummah salat? Talking about his last hours. What is the condition of my ummah salat? And he fell in and out of consciousness. Salat. Salat. He got conscious again. He said, what is the condition of the women in my community? What is the condition of the women in my community? And then he said, what is the condition of the poor in my community? And his last words was, ummati, ummati, ummati. Now, many of us have been around someone is passing away, and you really don't see them talking about community at that time. That tells us how special God is, that he cares that much about us, that the last words of our leader, the prophet, our model, was my people, my people, my people. The last words that he said. So making the note and closing the note here, we have to save ourselves by the word of God. It will take us into the dark places that we can't see. It will take us out of those dark places that we can't see with dignity. And we have to share that and be patient with each other because we're not going to always agree. And last but not least, we say that we come from a family tree. That means that we have to be a people with deep roots. As many trees, I just want to close on the oak tree. The oak tree is a different kind of tree. That oak tree will sit in the middle of the field and spread his branches wide. But not only does his branches spread wide, its roots go deep. And in this community, when Allah stands us up with his word and his messenger, we will have roots that will go on to generations. They will outlive us. They will be better than us. They will outperform us. But if we do the right thing and build the relationships right, they will honor us. And if they honor us, then Allah says there's three things that will outlive us. Your zakat, what good you do, any books that you write, and the prayers of your children. We will find ourselves in heaven one day on one rank and the next day on another and ask how we got there. And they will say, you got there on the prayers of your children. We got to save ourselves. We got to save our souls. And we must save our children.
ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وكينا عذاب النار. Oh, our Lord, give us good in this life. Oh, our Lord, give us good in the next life. Oh, our Lord, save us all from the tomb of the fire. Ameen. Akimu Salah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ayana salah, ayana falah. Qad qamat as-salah, qad qamat as-salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.